It's so good to be here this morning. I was here with my wife, I think it was a year and a half ago. And to get a second invitation means that you didn't mess up the first time. So let's see how that goes if Pastor Dev wants me to come back again next year. Sitting there and thinking, and when I looked at the sanctuary, I was reminded of my home church in Halifax. I lived in Halifax for a few months, and I attended Sheffield Baptist Church there. And if you're a church that you walk in and you think that, okay, is this Sheffield Baptist Church? It's exactly the same. Everything here is exactly the same, even to the carpet and the prayer room. So that's something now. So I feel like home. yes. My name, again, is Joel Kumar. My wife and I, with our youngest daughter, live in Port Colborne, and I serve with Operation Mobilization. I've been working with OM for the last 4 years, and my wife used to work, and now she has rejoined OM because of me. So it's been a pleasure and a privilege to serve with Operation Mobilization. This morning I want to talk about the refugee situation. Pastor Dev asked me if I could share about the ongoing refugee situation, and in light of that, how we as believers respond to that. In fact, I feel very humbled to be able to talk about refugee situation. I don't feel qualified, but I do work closely with a lot of my teammates in different countries across the world who work day in and day out with people, refugees, and in different regions. So I count it a privilege now to share that with you and share that burden. And I would like to talk about three things this morning. First of all, who we are in light of refugees, who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. The second one would be what compels us as Operation Mobilization to be concerned about the refugee situation. And my third point this morning would be how you and I can be involved in this ministry. Samuel Johnson, a British writer, says, "People need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed." And what I'm going to talk about this morning is not something that you're not aware of. What I'm going to speak on is not something that you have not heard. The scripture is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Having heard the news for the past 4 years of what's happening in Near East and in the last year and a half in Europe, what I'm going to talk about today is not a foreign concept to you, but it's important for us to be constantly reminded about these things. If you can go to the next slide. So, in light of refugees, who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ, if God is our refuge, we're all refugees. I know that sounds extreme, but if we look at the scriptures, that makes it very clear to us. If God is our refuge, we are all refugees. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 2:12 says, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him." I'm sure this morning, if you're here, at some stage in your lives, you have made that commitment to take refuge in him. On God, Psalm 62:7 says, "On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God." Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." And you can see so many scriptures, especially in Psalms, you can find number of references where the psalmists are referencing God as their refuge. Hebrews 6:18 says, "We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." We have fled from our sin to a Savior. So that makes you and I refugees. But God in His mercy has rescued us and has taken us into His fold. And now we're no longer refugees. We are His sons and daughters. We are His children. A refugee is a person who flees for refuge, for safety. In the case that we're looking at today, they're fleeing from Syria. They're fleeing from Iraq. They're fleeing from Lebanon and Jordan. And some of them are fleeing from Afghanistan. They're fleeing to places where they can find a refuge. And in the same light, when we look at our own lives from a spiritual standpoint, we were once in those dark, messy places. And God, in His mercy, has taken us out of that and now made us stand firm on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, that is our refuge. Christ is our refuge. I'm going to show you some of the slides of what's happening in Europe. And as we walk through those slides, you can change to the next slide, and we will see what compels us as Operation Mobilization to be involved in a ministry such as this. These pictures were taken in Macedonia. So my question is, why are we concerned about the refugee situation? We're concerned about it because we know that God is concerned about it. God is a God of justice. We're concerned about it because Christ in us compels us. Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone." Let me read that once again. "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And when you look at Syrians fleeing from Syria or Iraqis fleeing from their country, we also have a lot of believers, Yazidi Christians, who are fleeing from both places, and they are of the household of God. And the scripture talks about how we can help those people. They're being persecuted because they're Christians. And not only the general population is being under extreme conditions, but also the people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 25:35 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And it goes on, and it says, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So Christ in us, the Lord in us, the saving knowledge that we have compels us to be concerned about the refugee situation. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I believe that Christ died for every human being on this planet. And God is not a God of partiality. He sees every human being the same. And hence, we are concerned about the refugee situation. And God shows His love that while we were yet sinners, and it holds true even to the refugees in different places. Every human being is created fearfully and wonderfully, the psalmist says. And we're created in the image and in the likeness of God. Hence, we're concerned about the refugee situation. If you remember Jesus' command to love our neighbors as ourselves and love our enemies, and that compels us to care for the refugees. One of my coworkers in Europe says, We're concerned about refugee situation because we cannot look away when these things happen on our doorsteps. You must have heard the story of a little boy, 3.5 years old, Aylin. His dead body was found in the shores of Turkey. His father, along with 2 children and mother, they were on a journey. They had applied to come to Canada, but their application was rejected. But nonetheless, they made a journey. They made a decision to go on a journey and then flee from their country. And in the process of their journey, the younger brother, the older brother, and the mother, they all died. They drowned. Their boat flipped. As a result of that, the only father was able to get some rescue. So they have relatives in Vancouver, BC, who are trying to sponsor them. And that's one of the things that compels us when we hear stories such as that. One of my friends was, we were talking over dinner a couple of weeks ago. There is a family in Ontario, a refugee family from Syria, mother and 2 daughters. Their youngest daughter is so traumatized that she cannot even face people anymore, because her father and her uncle were killed by the ISIS right in front of her eyes. And that compels us to care for the refugees. We have something called Safe Passage Program in Europe. If you can go to the next slide, yes. So this is a program that we as Operation Mobilization have developed over the course of a year and a half, 2 years. So we have, when Greece, Macedonia, Serbia, and Hungary, these are the entry points for all the refugees coming in to making their headway from there. So we have teams there who are working day in and day out. The project is called the Safe Passage. And as we are working there, we have come across many refugees, and we're able to care for them on a daily basis. And as we think about the whole refugee situation, I want us to be reminded that God, we know that God is sovereign over all things. He's not only sovereign over all things, he's sovereign over all nations. And he's sovereign over all peoples. He's sovereign over Syria. He's sovereign over Iraq, Lebanon, Jordan, Afghanistan. He's sovereign over Greece, Macedonia, Serbia, and Hungary. And we know that, and we need to be constantly reminded of God's sovereign purpose. Acts 17:24 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything," just as we sang this morning. "Since he himself gives all to all mankind, life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation," that includes Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Jordan, "of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us." I want to reread one of the verses again. "Having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." Lord is sovereign over the movement of people. As we see people going through these safe passages in Greece, in Macedonia, in Serbia, and in Hungary, we know that God is sovereign over all people. This is a picture of the refugees coming in to Greece. And typically, a boat such as that can only hold 20 people. But more often than not, there are 50 or 60 people in a boat trying to get away from these situations. Many of them have died in the middle of oceans because a lot of them have never experienced water. They can't swim. A lot of them are younger kids and children. And we've heard a lot of stories of boats flipping in the water, and as a result of that, people dying. But we're able to, in God's mercy and sovereignty, we're able to help people in these places, and we thank God for that. And we believe that God has determined allotted periods for all those people who are entering these countries. We're not only able to help them by providing physical aid, food, water, sanitation, etc., but we're also able to, the most important gift that they could ever receive, we were able to, also able to share the gospel. If you go to the next slide, you'll see these are the pamphlets we've printed. In September, we printed, I think, around 15,000 of these, because all the refugees that are coming through these places, they have one thing in common. They have a cell phone because they want to be connected. They want to keep in touch with their friends and family to be informed on where to go, what are the entry points and all that stuff. They sell everything they have, all their possessions, and they pay a person to give them a boat ride. And, they have a cell phone. And we have produced these in many languages like Arabic, Dari, Farsi, and so on. And it says, "Are you looking for hope?" And it has a QR code that leads them to a website called Love for Refugees. I just wanted to read some of the reflections that we're doing in Greece. A huge number of people from Syria and Afghanistan and Iran and many other nations are entering Europe in small boats via the Greek islands. An OM team on the Greek island of Lesbos is serving at camps and at the ports. In Athens, OM team members are meeting refugees as they arrive in different ports and serving them as they await the bus taking them to Macedonian border. In Macedonia, at the borders in both southern and northern Macedonians, an OM team and a partner agencies are caring for the refugees on their way towards Western Europe by providing for them food, hot drinks, clothing, and blankets. In addition to that, the teams provide a supportive, listening presence for those struggling with the journey. They need someone to talk to as in the process of their exodus. In Serbia, at the border, we have an OM team that is supporting refugees passing through a refugee camp in Sid by providing them with tea and hot soup. And this happens day in and day out, 24 hours. Our team members are taking 11 hours shift every day. For the last 4 years in Hungary, we have OM teams that has partnered with local church to minister a refugee camp. Twice a month, a group of volunteers goes to the camp to teach Hungarian, English, and German, as well as hosting a small children's program in these places. We have our workers there who are working, and some of the reflections that we've had from them. One of our OM worker in Hungary, her name is Jill, and she writes, "The last few months, as I have served, the people have become not just numbers reported in the news, but faces that express the weariness of thousands of miles traveled. Then the gratefulness of a hot drink and food to eat." One of our OMers in Greece says, "OM's role in the body of Christ here in the refugee crisis is that we hope we can be the glue. When I say glue, I mean that I don't want OM to be seen or known except that we will work with and through the churches for a sustainable Christian community here in Greece." And that's always been our motto. We don't want to be working devoid of the church or the local churches. We want to be in partnership with the local churches. As we engage people in short-term missions, we don't want that to be over by the time the short-term mission ends. Hence, we partner with local churches and believers there. In Serbia, one of our OMers was helping a child, and she writes, "With a broken heart, I picked her up and held her in my arms like a baby. Her trousers were soaked with urine right down to her shoes. I prayed, 'Jesus, where are you?'" Another volunteer in Serbia, "In the face of this tragedy, we cannot pretend nothing has happened. We can intervene in prayer, support humanitarian projects, go firsthand to help, and prepare our churches and homes to receive with love and mercy these needy people." It's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity, says, or help, says the Greek Evangelical Regional Secretary in Greece, to help and to have some Christian workers who are ready to go to the islands, to be ready to be on the front lines, to be ready to coordinate a lot of these areas. People need to understand that when they look at OM and what we can do, whatever we can do, we will do it in hand with the churches, strengthened by the churches, empowered to reach out their countrymen and those passing through these their borders. And one of our friends in Greece says, "I've started to realize the more open I am about my religion, that is Christianity, the more questions people ask and the more Bibles I hand out. It's become easier and easier to share with Muslims. We are Christians. We are here to help because that's what Christ expects from us." Another comment, "OM's key strength lies in its locally based people and their knowledge of local language. This combined with their network of church groups and volunteers has allowed OM's relief managers to establish themselves quickly on projects and to communicate with the local authorities and to meet the main logistical needs." In Greece, I was in Panama a month and a half ago, and one of our workers who's actually working on the ground in Greece shared a story with us. As they were working together with a lot of nonprofit charity organizations, because we as OMers are a Christian organization, we don't really get the credit, or we're not looked as though there's no recognition for us because they want to be away from a religious Christian ministry. But in spite of that hostility, even between the organizations there, OM has continued persistently helping these people, especially when everyone goes back home in the night. OMers are there cleaning the streets. They're helping sweep the streets and taking all kinds of human waste. And the city mayor noticed that one night when she was out for a walk. And she asked the next morning in their local meeting, "Who are these people?" They're OM people. And that day they were recognized, and there was a lot of synergy there working together with different organizations who are not from a Christian worldview. "So many refugees have been and experienced the true face of Islam," one of our co-workers says. "They're fed up with it and long for a real relationship with God. We don't want this opportunity to go by without doing something." I have a video now that I would like to show you. It's just a minute and a half that gives you a snapshot of what exactly is happening in Europe.
Just finished a trip to Lesbos in Greece, where we saw many people come on the shores of Greece as refugees. I gave a hug to Ahmed, who was in tears after having arrived in Europe with his family. All these people are moving on, from here to Macedonia, to Serbia, into Germany, into Austria. And all these places are facing the flood of refugees entering the European countries. Some people see this as a threat. We see it as an opportunity. Thank you. come from countries far away that we've been praying for, that we've been trying to enter, to reach out and share the gospel in those places. We've been praying for them. And now today, they're coming to us. I believe God is moving these people to us because we haven't been going to them. Where's the end? We see that the flood of refugees coming into Europe is a fantastic opportunity for the church to reach out and share the love of Jesus Christ with each and every one of them. And our prayer is that in every city, in every church, there will be refugees welcomed and introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you be part of that?
Yep, that's just a snapshot of what's happening in Europe. Now, we've been working in Nereus for the last 45 years. This picture actually was taken in December, sometime in December 2015, at one of the children's camp in Syria. ORM started in 1957, and ever since then, our vision, our burden, our desire, our motto has been that at least every person on this earth will hear the gospel at least once, and we have been on that journey ever since. And our work in Near East has started 45 years ago. Our work is not a reaction on the immediate crisis, but it is birthed through the established relationships for decades. We've been working with working to reach Muslims and to win them through the gospel. We're working in the Near East to equip, support, and help local believers so that they can go on and reach out to their communities. And in the last 2.5 years, we in Canada, my team and I, we've been relentlessly working to raise resources here through OM in Canada so that we can help a lot of people in the Near East. And that's how my relation to this whole refugee crisis. And we've been, the church here in Canada has been very generous. The people have been very prayerful about the whole situation. And we have seen a tremendous encouragement as we partner with churches to raise resources so that people in Near East will be able to get some practical help. And not only just that, but we're able to reach them with the gospel. If you can go to the next slide, Anne. So just this slide gives a gist of what's happening in these places. We have 6.5 million internally displaced people in Syria. And as you look at those figures, and there's so many people that are fleeing these places, and there are millions and millions of people that have been displaced over the course of 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years. The next slide, please. And what are we doing in these places? We're offering people with practical supplies, practical aid, so that they can have an ongoing sustenance in the form of food. We're distributing food packets and medical assistance. We're helping them with housing. We have education for children in these places. Actually, we've partnered with Anglican pastor and his wife in Jordan. They started a school in their garage, and they were in need of funds, and they had nowhere to go, and somehow they got in touch with OM, and now we're able to resource them. And now it's such a beautiful thing to see all these children getting education. They have a schedule now in the middle of all these atrocities. If you can go to the next slide, Anne, please. So they're just a snapshot of what we've been doing in the last year. Just gives you a picture of the help in people in these regions are able to get as a result of our work. Next slide, please. Some of the pictures of the food supply. Next. Next. Yeah, these are the kids, and there are tents. You can see from the outside how the tents look like, and inside these kids, they're getting some form of education and continuity in as far as their day-to-day lives are concerned. Next slide, please. One of the other schools. Next. 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 And this is our core principle as we partner with the Syrians and Iraqis and all the displaced people there. We want to go in with them and partner with them and allow them to do what they can do best in a culturally sensitive environment, as opposed to us going and just giving aid. We want to be sensitive to that, and then as a result of that, we have developed relationships, and OM has been working there for many, many years, and we're partnering with 8 organizations, including some of those churches, and with local people helping. We don't have any bias in terms of who we help. We want to help people from all religious backgrounds, not just the Christians. And we have a long-term view of the church and the growth of the kingdom in this region. Next, please. And we also are able to help people who are involved in the ministry of the gospel. This is one of the pastors that serves in Near East, and I have a video that I would like to show you, which gives you a snapshot from a ministry standpoint.
This is Eddie. He's a husband, a scholar, a traveler, an expectant father, and a respected member of his local church. He's also the leader of OM's relief efforts in one of the most war-torn cities in Syria. This is his story.
My background is I was born in Kuwait. My mom is Lebanese and my father is Syrian. That's why I'm Syrian. And in 1998, we moved to Syria to live there. And I stayed until I completed my studies. And after I finished the 1 year, one academic year of Christian apologetics in Oxford University, with Lafon, I felt that God is calling me to Syria. I stayed there for 7 months, struggling whether God wants me to stay or my parents or my relatives are encouraging me to go outside Syria and start a career or something. But after this struggle, I felt, no, God is asking me to stay in Syria and full-time in ministry, to be a full-time in ministry at my local church.
In 2011, the Arab Spring uprising spread to Syria. And what started as a peaceful protest calling for reform quickly devolved into an all-out war between Islamists and the ruling regime, with millions of civilians caught in the middle.
So many families are leaving. Talking about my relatives, more than 50% of them are now outside the country. About the church, last time I preached on Sunday, I was greeting the people, and I saw around 20% only from the church, from the previous asset, but all are new. There are some newcomers maybe impacted by the relief work we are doing, and some others impacted by the message they are receiving. So they are bringing each other to the church. This is what also motivates me to stay. There is a fruit. Unless there is no other motive to stay, because life is very difficult. You can expect any time that a mortar can drop in front of you, or a gas missile. There's shortage of water. We had 40 days without any drop of water coming from the tap. So it was very difficult. We have shortage of oil. Petrol, diesel, now we are in winter, and this is the main items that people get heat from it. So it's very difficult. Also, transportation become very expensive. According to the income of the individuals, the income is still the same, while the living cost is now triple. Our youth work at our church, we are supporting 1,800 families, and we have some other funds sometimes. We can help until 2,200 families. per month. You can say around 5,000 of your families are registered at our church, but until now, we are able to help around 2,000 families per month.
So if you were able to receive more from outside, you would be able to distribute to people?
Yes. This is the reason why we are helping. This is because of Christ. This is the grace we have. And we are trying to share this grace with others as much as we are having it.
That's Pastor Eddie, still chosen to stay there and to stay the course to minister to the Syrians. We have accounted in the middle of all this atrocity. Last year alone, there have been 19 baptisms in different parts of Syria, Iraq, Jordan, and Lebanon. And that's something to praise God for. Imagine 19 people being baptized and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and openly want to make a commitment to pursue and serve the Lord in different capacities. So that's been a very encouraging aspect for us. The next slide, please. In light of all this we've heard so far, my third point would be to how you and I can be involved in this whole refugee situation. First and foremost, I would say we can pray for these people. Our prayers are very important. Our prayers are very crucial. And we have so many resources that you can use to pray for this situation intelligently. 1 Samuel says, "Far be it from me if I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." Of course, we need to pray for our brothers like Eddie in those places, our brothers and sisters who are really oppressed and in difficult situations in these places. And the Lord instructs us. He says, "Harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray." And that's our motive. God hears our prayers. God heard Moses' prayer, and he led the people of Israelites out of the Egypt. And I'm sure when we pray, God hears our cry. And our prayers are very important, and they matter. If you want more resources about prayer, you can come and talk to me after the service, or you can go online. OM.org is one of those resources. You can find a lot of ways how you can pray under our news tab. And there are other mission organizations who are giving away free resources so that you're educated in those areas and praying intelligently for those things. Another area that you can get involved is by giving. If your church has a desire and a burden, if the Lord lays on your heart to give in some capacity, if directly for the work that's happening in Near East or in Europe, or even if for that matter, if as a church, if the Lord puts on your heart to embrace a family, to sponsor a family from these places to Canada, if the Lord directs you in that regard, I would encourage you to do that. In the end, it might not even be a very, even if it goes sour, the whole experience, I would still encourage you to take this on, because it's like I said, God is sovereign no matter what, and he determines the allotted places for those people. You can send people from your own congregations, although we're not sending anyone to Near East, but we are sending people to Greece, Macedonia, and Austria, and to these places. Every one of us can go on a short-term mission trip to be with these people for a week or two, to understand their pains and sufferings, and to come to their aid in terms of distributing food and drink and what have you. But not only just that, but to be a listening ear to these people, and also to look for opportunities and to point them to the gospel as you come across these people. We have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we have that in us, and we have that power in us. And the Lord commands us, go ye therefore to the uttermost parts of the world and baptize them, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And if God has called us, then there shouldn't be no fear, no barriers, no limits, and no excuses. Micah 6:8 says, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And that's our prayer and that's our desire this morning. This is my prayer as we listen to this, even for my own self, as I was driving this morning trying to ponder what I was going to speak on. I was praying that the Lord would increase the intensity in my own heart for these people and a desire to help them even more so than what we've been doing thus far, because we have a God that is sovereign over all. He's sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over all nations. He's sovereign over all peoples. And he's sovereign over you, and he's sovereign over me. And I believe that this is a God-orchestrated time. And as we listen to this, this is my prayer that we'd not only be hearers, but be doers. And thank you so much for the opportunity this morning that you've given to me. I appreciate the time. God bless you.